Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7, the famous Fishcakes, EB and JP. That's the foursome. Joining us right now in the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is John Feinstein, bestselling author, Washington Post columnist, brought to you by Golfdom. The golf season is still in full swing as we head to the best time of year to play. Golfdom has you covered to live the game. In the fall, with the best in apparel, clubs, shoes, and more, visit Golfdom in Tysons or at golfdomgolf.com. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Hello, doing okay. John, doing okay. Well. I was actually perusing your Twitter, and I like your recap of the draft where Lamar Jackson, the running back, was drafted after all the quarterbacks who were average at best.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? And that draft in many ways inspired me to finally get started on the book I'd been wanting to do for years on race and sports. And because here you had everybody was saying this is the best quarterback draft since 1983. And the pundits were saying, led by Bill Polian, who's a Hall of Famer, a guy who knows the game, yeah, Lamar Jackson was fine as a college quarterback, but he should be a wide receiver or running back in the pros. And the comparison I heard constantly was, oh, he's like Robert Griffin III, so he'll get hurt. Well, if you watch him play, he plays nothing like Robert Griffin III. He doesn't take hard hits. He's elusive. He almost never takes a solid hit from when he gets tackled. And, you know, we've seen what has happened. And he did have one thing in common with Robert Griffin III, and he's black. And the four guys got drafted in the top 10, as you know. They went at 1, 3, 7, and 10, with Josh Rosen whining about going at 10 and how has he turned out. And we've all seen what Lamar Jackson has become. And by the way, if it weren't for Ozzie Newsome, he wouldn't even have been drafted in the first round.
Great point. And, of course, he plays the 2018 MVP this week. We were just talking about it. So you've got Mahomes.
Yeah, that's a Monday night game I will stay up for.
Going to get you up. All right.
I don't know how you do it.
Well,
you
get tired very often, as you guys know.
John, you get tired early. I don't know how
you're
going to do it.
Do you think a regular
season? I do. Well, I get up. I don't get up as early as you guys. But, Jason, I'm old, man.
Oh, I know you are. I know you are.
Do you think a regular season game like that, a week three game, is more meaningful to one side or the other? Like, Kansas City has had Baltimore's number, so Valdez would posit that it means a lot to the Ravens to get over the hump. Do you think it means as much to the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think it's a bigger deal for the Ravens. Number one, they're playing at home. Of course, home isn't what it normally is this year because of not having fans. But look, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year. They got nothing to prove at the moment. And people have pointed out correctly, in my mind, that, yes, this would be a big deal for the Ravens to win and be 3-0 and all that. But the Ravens' test this year isn't going to come till January. I think we all think they're going to be in the playoffs. They have a chance to be a high seed. They were the number one seed last year and lost their first game. So they can go 14-2 again and be the number one seed in the AFC again. And people are going to say, okay, but let's see what happens in January. And that's not completely unfair. They have lost at home, a real home games with fans, the last 2 years in the playoffs.
And this year, the way they've expanded the playoffs, John, it's even a bigger deal, I think, because even though you're not playing in front of fans, the one seed is the only team that gets the bye. Of course,
gets
the top
the bye,
two.
Right.
Right, so the
right.
two and, seed is going to have to play.
Yeah, and but remember, Jason, you're right. You're 100% right. But last year, the Ravens had the number one seed, mm-hmm. Had a bye in the first round, and still lost to the Titans. And I was at that game, and they were completely outplayed that night. And Lamar Jackson just wasn't very good. And it was surprising because he'd been so consistently good during the regular season.
John, I don't know if you had a chance to read the New York Times article about the Washington football team owner, Daniel Snyder, withholding dividends to the minority shareholders. Surprised by that?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Yes, it is.
I mean, this is who Dan Snyder is. I mean, that's what I have found amusing since all these things started to happen with him, you know, being forced to change the name of the team or remove the name of the team. He hasn't changed the name of the team. He's removed the name of the team. And with the whole debacle with the two Washington Post stories and Larry Michael, quote-unquote, retiring and dancing, oh, I'm going to hire a woman to be in charge of our broadcasting. And I'm a Julie Donaldson fan, by the way. I worked with her at Comcast, so don't get me wrong on that. And you know, he sending out letters with his and his wife's name on it saying we're going to do better. Dan Snyder's Dan Snyder. I mean, he's still going around suing people. And now he's doing this with the minority owners who want out and have wanted out for a while. And, you know, why would any of that surprise anyone? What would surprise someone is if he did something that was genuinely selfless and tried to make a point, a real point, an important point in some area, whatever it might be. But I certainly don't expect that anytime soon because that's not who he is. He does public relations gestures. The other thing is, guys, think about this. When was the last time we saw Dan Snyder speak to anybody in public or take any questions from the media?
Years.
Years. I mean, he did speak in public when he introduced Rivera, but he didn't answer any questions.
Right.
And that's what, you know, the other guy who does that, well, he doesn't do it like Snyder, so let me correct that. But there's a lot of talk. There's been talk in the golf media in the last, what, year and a half or 2 years about how Tiger Woods is so much more friendly and he's such a better guy. He's still the last media print reporter he sat down with and talked to one-on-one for any length of time at all without getting paid because it was part of a book was me in 1998.
Well, that is quite a gap.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
John, just getting back to the minority owners
for
a bit. They, you know, I'm sure they've put up with a lot over, you know, 20 plus years and they can deal with a lot. But once you suspend the payments that are coming to them, I mean, rich guys want to get their payments. They may be rich, but they want those payments to continue and to keep coming in. Once that stops or, you know, it's, you know, restricted in any way, that's when their feathers get ruffled. And we're now seeing the result of it.
Yeah, this means war, more or less. And, you know, you didn't hear these minority owners complaining at all when the money was rolling in because NFL teams, you know, print basically have a license to print money. They only got concerned about the name when it looked like it would be bad for their corporations or for their public images to be part of a team with this name. They didn't write to Snyder because they suddenly had an attack of conscience. Let's be honest. They wrote to Snyder about the name because they went, oh, man, this is going to be bad. This could be bad for business. We don't want to, you know, in the wake of George Floyd and the social justice movement, we don't want to be part of that. And now, like you said, totally correct, with Snyder withholding dividends, this is going to ratchet up. And it's going to ratchet up in a way that won't be pretty to watch.
Hmm. What did you make? Did you catch any of the game? You know, was Washington fans were happy after week one. The defense looked dominant. And then, of course, Kyler Murray made him look fairly ordinary in week two. They kind of look like the same old Washington team. So I don't know.
Yeah, I still think they have a good defense, particularly on the defensive line. I think that's the strength of the team. But you guys might remember last Friday when we were talking about the game, I pointed out that Kyler Murray was a lot different than Carson Wentz when it came to mobility. And Eric, I don't know if it was you, somebody had the stat about him being sacked 48 times last year.
Yeah.
As a rookie, still learning and all that. He's tough to catch. I mean, that was sort of my point. That's one of the reasons he's so good, because he can throw the ball and he can run the ball effectively, and he did that. He did still get sacked three times, I think, in the first half, but he made their defense look bad at times, and part of that's just because he's really good.
Yeah.
And just as I didn't think there was reason to jump up and down and get too excited over the Eagles' win, it was nice for them to come back and win the game. But again, as I said last week, I don't think the Eagles are that good. And Washington's strength, the defensive line, was going right up against Philadelphia's weakness, the offensive line, because they've been banged up, and they took advantage of it and sacked Wentz eight times. And I would say now that the loss at Arizona shouldn't cause panic. It was a loss on the road. You know, you had to travel, even with lack of fans, to a good team, a team that I think will make the playoffs. And even though they're in a very tough division, but boy, are the 49ers banged up. And they should have a good shot to beat the Browns this week. The Browns looked better last week, but it was against the Bengals. And yeah. Joe Burrow is clearly going to be a good quarterback in the NFL, but the Bengals are still the Bengals. So I would see, I think that's a very winnable game for Washington.
Where do you stand on the evaluation of Haskins? Because that's been sort of the hot topic. You know, quarterback controversies here in D.C., that's what we do. And, you know, most of us think that, you know, he hadn't looked that great, but Rivera's saying he's making the right reads, and so that's a very, very positive thing. Most people have been fairly critical, but Charlie came out this week and really defended him. And Charlie feels like they've got their guy. What do you think?
You know, I first of all, I would defer to Charlie as an expert compared to me. But beyond that, he's a work in progress. Which isn't surprising in a second-year quarterback who only started seven games last year. The one thing I would say, and I think Haskins could be the guy, he's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to be Lamar Jackson, but I think he could be a solid starting quarterback, a la, you know, Matthew Stafford, who's been stuck with a bad team for a long time. But when a coach says, well, he's doing all the right reads, it's sort of like when a baseball manager talks about a pitcher who's gotten knocked out early, and he says, well, he had really good stuff, he just didn't have command.
Mm-hmm.
Well, stuff is irrelevant. Anybody pitching in the major league has good stuff. Command means putting your pitches in the right place. And if you don't put your pitches in the right place, you can be throwing 100 and you're going to get crushed. And Rivera, I remember when I did the Ravens book, Kyle Bowler was the quarterback. Never meet a nicer guy than Kyle Bowler, but clearly not ever going to be an effective starting quarterback. And Brian Billick would talk week after week after week about how Bowler did this, and we saw this on tape, and he's making such great progress. That's what you do with your starting quarterback. You're not going to come out and say he sucked. And the fact that Bruce Arians did it with Tom Brady, remember, that was so controversial. Well, it was obvious to anybody that Brady wasn't very good in that New Orleans game. And by the way, Brady, after 20 years in the NFL, can take it. A second-year kid who's still learning, you don't want to publicly criticize.
Hey, John, real quick, before we let you go, I just want to get your take on what Bryson did last weekend.
Well, his round on Sunday was historically brilliant, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
It was a U.S. Open. It was a major championship. He'd never won one. He shot 3 under par on a day when nobody broke par on a hard golf course. And all credit to him. And look, he was a very good player a year ago, making a lot of money. And he said, that's not good enough. I want to be better than that. And he decided, because he's a different guy, the route was to build himself up to look like a linebacker and hit, you know, try to hit the ball a million miles with that really strange-looking upright swing of his. And different swings. People talk about, you know, oh, his swing is so different. So what? Arnold Palmer's swing had such a corkscrew on it that the first time Ben Hogan saw him swing a club when he made the Masters for the first time, he said, how did that guy ever get in the field?
Hmm.
Well, he did pretty well. Jim Furyk has a funny-looking swing. Matthew Wolff, who played with him in the with DeChambeau in the last group, has a hitch before he swings a club. It doesn't matter. What matters is where the club face is when it comes through the ball, and he gets the club face through the ball. Now, having said all that, and I think he has the potential to be a multiple major champion, he's just turned 27, he's got to play. They've got to find a way to get all these guys, but particularly him, to play faster. The pace of play in golf is torture. They were playing in twosomes last Sunday, and DeChambeau and Wolf took more than 4.5 hours to play. I know it's a hard golf course, but 4.5 hours in a twosome? That's utterly ridiculous. And these green reading booklets that they have now, they have to be outlawed. They have to be outlawed.
I thought they did. I thought they changed the rule on some of that stuff.
No, they're still there. That's why DeChambeau's looking at the book every time.
I mean, I know he's got the book, but I thought there were some of those images or whatever they were having of the green, maybe that they're not allowed to have. I don't
know.
Well,
the point is, they've still got the greens books, and if you watch DeChambeau and others, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Palmer, Watson, guys like that, they read greens pretty well without the books.
Yeah,
they
did
okay. They made putts.
But you know what? As
reading
a viewer,
putts should be part of the game.
Right.
You know, it's part of the sport to be. You know, Steve Stricker, who's a great putter, guys would tell you he has the best eyes in golf when he was at his best. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. That's part of being a great player, or a very good player in Stricker's case. So that has to go, because that's adding, I don't know, at least 10 to 15 minutes to every round. And the other one other thing about Bryson is, A, when you're asked a question after winning the U.S. Open by Steve Sands about how you made this decision to change your body, you don't answer it by listing all your damn sponsors. It sounded like NASCAR. It was embarrassing. And if you do it at the Sony Open or any of the other tournaments, you know, with corporate names on them, I don't like it, but I can live with it. But at a major championship, if he were to win the Masters, trust me, before he walks in the Butler cabin, he will be lectured by someone in a green jacket to say, you will not mention any of your sponsors in your acceptance speech here or out on the putting green. Trust me, that'll happen. And the last thing is, he's a whiner. He's a whiner. He's never wrong. It's always someone else's fault. It's a cameraman's fault. It's his caddy's fault.
Likeable guy.
He's got to grow out of that.
Yeah. I would just say this, though, about the pace of play. Listen, when I'm on the golf course, I hate it. But when I'm watching TV, I couldn't care less. Because
it's not good
golfers.
For the game, because it affects the other players.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it affects you.
Affects
the guy you're playing with. It affects the guys behind you. There's something called protecting the field.
Yeah.
And one of the ways you have to protect the field is by playing at a reasonable pace of play. I know guys are different. I remember Jason Day, who's very slow, played at the Masters the first two rounds a couple years back with Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler, who are both very fast. And he joked afterwards that he was afraid they were just going to play through him and leave him behind because right. He was slow.
Well, some guys do that a little
what?
Bit.
What?
Some guys do that a bit, right?
Well, Rory Sabatini did it famously here at Congressional years ago to Ben Crane. And it was funny because Paul Azinger ripped him on television when he did that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not good etiquette or anything like that. But the next day, the U.S. Open was the next week at Pinehurst. And the next day, I was actually on the driving range when Sabatini walked onto the driving range. And all the players, there were, I don't know, 20, 25 guys out there, they all stopped what they were doing and applauded him because he'd made a point about slow play. Right. Slow play is arguably the biggest controversy in golf.
Yeah. Yeah. It certainly sucks when you're on the golf course.
A lot of positive thoughts.
It really sucks when you're on the golf course. And my brother doesn't like me to bring this up, and I'm told by guys he plays with regularly that he's much faster now than he used to be. But we used to fight about his pace of play when we played together.
Right.
I met your brother on Wednesday. First time.
You were at a golf course, that's for sure.
Well, I was at his golf course, River Bend. And that was
River
the first time.
One of his golf courses, Jason.
What's the other one?
Nice.
What's the other one?
He has several.
Oh, he does?
Rational.
Yes, his goal is to break the 14-club rule.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you, John.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yep, you too. He's the best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. John Feinstein here on a Football Friday. Coming up next, let's open up the phone lines, the AAA Always On Call listener lines, at 800-636-1067. We hit this game at 7 o'clock with J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington. We started talking about the matchup here. Who thinks that the Washington football team can actually win this game against the Browns? We want to hear from you. 800-636-1067. Your call's next on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan on a Football Friday. And we want to dive back into this matchup where the Browns, of course, are hosting the Washington football team. Washington looking to bounce back from that loss to Zona last week, where, of course, Kyler Murray ran all over them, including a couple of long touchdowns. This week they don't face a quarterback who's as fast as Kyler Murray. Baker Mayfield can move around a little bit, but you can get to him. Now, he's only been sacked twice this year. The Bengals didn't get to him last week, but we do know that Baker is prone to make turnovers. If you want to chime in, you can call us at 800-636-1067. Clearly, to me, the key to the game is you got to get Baker to make a couple of those turnovers. You got to get their pass rush after him, much like you did in week one against Carson Wentz. Hopefully Chase Young, Ryan Kerrigan, the guys can get after Baker, and that'll make a difference. Because you're going to have your hands full trying to stop their running backs.
Yeah, I'm not as concerned about Baker as I am about the two-headed monster that is Chubb and Hunt, who've already toted the rock 55 times through two games. And that's what Stefanski wants to do. He doesn't want to put too much on Baker's plate. He'd rather have Hunt and Chubb carry the load. And with their results, why wouldn't you? I mean, Chubb's averaging 5.8 yards per carry. Hunt is averaging almost 7 yards per carry, and he's dynamic catching balls out of the backfield. I'd be worried about slowing those guys down and, you know, limiting them as much as possible. That's a big
and that
pass.
Negates the pass rush, too. My point is they need to capitalize on the occasions when Baker does drop back and get to him and force him into a couple of turnovers because he's prone to make it. Because I think that they will try and pound the football with Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They're averaging 176 yards per game on the ground.
Yep.
176.
So
second
let me ask
best
you this.
In the league.
If they don't force turnovers for Baker, can they win?
I don't think so.
So they have to have short fields to win.
Yeah, I don't think they can keep up with the Browns' offense. I think the Browns' offense will get theirs.
I think so, too.
Well, the problem is stopping the run, like you say. If they can do that, they'll be in a good position. And they just have to score in the first half, in the first quarter, you know. They have to find a way. You know, it can be a little old school, you know. Keep the ball away from them, right? We carry the ball. We sustain drives. I mean, the fact that we have more punts than points in the first half is ridiculous.
It's great in theory, but the problem is the Browns have been really good at stopping the run too through the first two games. They've held the Bengals and the Ravens to just about 3 yards per carry. So they're stoning you against, you know, when you try to run the ball.
Yeah, they're sixth against the run. Cakes are giving up just under 90 yards per game on the ground. The way to beat the Browns is through the air. That's what the Bengals tried to do. Burrow had success, had 3 touchdown passes. So this is the chance for Haskins, actually, to put up some big numbers.
And I think it's the safeties and the linebackers that Scott Turner is really going to key on because he wants to, you know, I'm sure McLaurin will do well against Denzel Ward. He did well against Patrick Peterson last week. in Arizona. But the weak link of that Browns defense is the linebackers and safeties. That means, it's weird to say, Logan Thomas is one of the most heavily featured tight ends in the league target-wise. I think he's going to get a lot of passes thrown his way, and maybe this is the running backs catching balls out of the backfield breakout that a lot of people have expected is going to happen at some point. Maybe this weekend is it.
I brought this up with J.P. Finley, though. This is my thing with Logan Thomas. You're right. He is targeted a ton. He's been targeted 17 times.
Yep.
He has 8 catches.
He's inefficient.
And he's averaging less than 7 yards per catch.
Right.
Well, I told you that he may have good hands, but a lot of times I see him kind of jumping up with one hand, and you just know he's not going to catch it. You just know he's not going to catch it. Now, it's not necessarily right in his zone. It's a little high, which is right. Where Haskins tends to miss.
It's usually high and hot.
But, you know, like Gesicki or whatever the guy's name is that made that catch last night, I don't see Thomas, unfortunately, having that kind of athleticism and body control to make that kind of catch.
Yeah, he's just a sick athlete.
Gesicki's a freak. I mean, he had the touchdown last night, and he drew a PI in the end zone, too. That I think that was where Fitzpatrick scored on the rushing touchdown, if
Thomas
my memory
is,
serves correct.
He seems a little stiffer than I thought. You know, I thought he'd just be a little more fluid, maybe.
I saw somebody describe him as a poor man's version of Darren Waller, a guy who, like, if the ball's around, he's going to catch it, but he's not as athletic as Waller.
Right.
You know, I was kind of looking around in the standings, and I think the only team worse in the first half in terms of points scored has been the Jets.
Right.
You don't want to be in that company.
I think the Jets have scored 6 points in the first half of their games.
Jason, Adam Gase has told everybody this week they're going into hyperdrive against the Colts on offense.
Whatever that means.
I don't know how he's going to do it with no Jameson Crowder, with his offensive linemen dropping like flies. I'm not sure how it's going to happen, but that's what he said.
All right, 800-636-1067. Want to hear from you. What's your take? What's your prognosis? How do you think the Washington football team is going to fare this week? Here's something, and I don't think people are talking about much. We certainly haven't. But as of like 2 days ago, Morgan Moses is listed as questionable. Okay? That offensive line has enough problems as it is.
Right, and I believe Schweitzer is going to start at right guard. Can you imagine if you lose your right tackle?
Right. I mean, I believe J.P. Finley reported yesterday that Moses was on the cycling team. He was one of the guys on the bike. So that's a big deal. So
He's banged up a lot, though.
That's going to be a big bite.
He's a gamer. I would bet he'll go.
I hope. But, I mean, he didn't practice yesterday. From what I saw.
Another thing, though, that I would be worried about, and we've seen it in the first 2 weeks, it's the big play. And we saw Baker connect with Odell on one against the Bengals. And the Washington football team right now has given up more long passes than anybody in the NFL. We've been killing Troy Apke and Landon Collins to some extent, but we've been killing the secondary for a while.
Did you see Rivera defended Apke?
What exactly did he say?
He just said he's been not as bad as people think. You know, and I think it's because there's been one or two big plays each game he's given up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, but he might be doing well on 45 of the other plays.
Well, look,
but
he led the team in tackles in week one. Yeah. So I think he's solid in the box. It's just that it's been so apparent as a viewer just watching on TV that he's been beaten on a couple of big plays.
I would just be worried about gut punch after gut punch of Chubb and Hunt, and then they're going to run the play action and
correct.
Then go over the top with Odell Beckham.
Exactly.
That has to worry you as a Washington
All right, so how do Washington fans feel this week? Because last week they were, I don't know, they were probably 50-50, kind of on the fence.
Are you kidding me? Last week there were people calling
people were high.
12 games.
People were
saying, no, but I'm talking about after last week's game, after the loss to Arizona. So when we talked to the fans Monday, they were kind of like, oh, you know, I still have faith. But I just want to know how fans feel about this particular matchup after watching them last week.
I feel like fans have lost a lot of faith after one game.
That's the way they are usually.
That's how I feel.
Like I didn't expect them to go out and beat Arizona.
But you expected them to be more competitive. That's a problem.
Not that much more competitive.
I did offensively. I really did. I expected them to be able to move the football better than
they did.
They're
much more a work in progress, obviously, than Arizona.
For sure, but I still expected them to move the ball better. And, frankly, I expected the defense to maybe make some more plays. I mean, that first game performance by the defense was dominating. I mean, we had people calling in, even experts saying they think we might have the best pass rush in the NFL. And, you know, and it was okay last week, but it wasn't like it was in week one. So maybe that was due to, you know, the Phillies'
the defense
was great
in week
one,
but you can't win. You can't win 10 games with a dominant defense and a dud offense.
Eric, do you want to hear your BFF Turner talking about the offense in his presser this week?
Yeah,
I think just overall, you know, we just got to get better. You know, we got to get a lot better as an offense. You know, there's no excuses about that. You know, we have plenty of, you know, practice time. We just got to perform better when it comes to Sundays. You know, the everyone talks about tempo, and you know, we look at that as well, and you know, we do tempo. We're you know, that's another thing. We're eighth in the league in first half, you know, pace. So we're running a play about every 24 seconds, and the difference between first eighth and second, I think, is about 1 second. So you know, we look to explore all options, anything we can do to try to be successful. I think, you know, it comes down to you know, it always comes down to just making plays or. You know, me putting the guys in the right situation. It's never just one thing.
My guns are trained on Turner because I was super high on him early, and I just haven't seen that creative sort of stuff that I was expecting to see. You know, I just haven't. Now, you can argue it's because they don't have the personnel.
They're probably installing it. They're still installing all of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's what it is.
Remember what Coach Rivera said? Not everything till 2021. Got to wait a little bit.
Yeah, wait till
they have
next year.
New quarterback.
Well, the thing that's scary is that they said that they're going to have to dial things back, maybe. Dial things back from what?
Yeah. Are we going back to the Paleolithic era? I mean, how far back are we going?
It's not like we've been that exotic.
The problem I have with grilling Scott Turner is he just doesn't have much to work with. I know that Eric thought that they have, you know, enough weapons at the beginning of the season.
I think they have
pieces. I
just
don't see it. I see a subpar tight end. I see a subpar number two wide receiver and a number three wide receiver. And you have unproven running backs. Yeah, you've seen some flashes here and there from McKissick and from the rookie Antonio Gibson. But they just don't have the personnel. And that's not even to mention the line, which is a mess.
Yeah. Well, how about this? There's Steven Sims. Nobody's talking about this. He's listed as questionable. So if they're missing Sims, wow.
Just plug in the Nub Sims, Camp Sims.
Then,
he's always available.
Well, then who?
That or Gandy Golden or Golden Gandy, whatever his name is.
Gandy Golden.
Yeah. This might be his week because they're going to have to throw to their wideouts because they do give up a lot of yardage through the air. So they're going to have to do it. So I don't know. I don't feel great about the game. Typically, when I look at the Browns, I just chalk that up as a dub in my brain. But I don't feel as confident. I certainly can tell you that. All right, let's go to Pablo, 800-636-1067. I feel like the phone lines are kind of dead here. Washington fans are already – I feel like they're already bailing.
They're already retreating.
I feel like they're already in their holes.
It's 2 week 2.
Come on, guys. We've been waiting months for this. Let's go to – play a little music for me, Valdez, to fire people up. And not the sad one. Fridays, we always play the good.
You have to be optimistic.
HTTR. No. No. Stop it. Play the good one. All right, let's go to Pablo. Line one. Pablo, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What's up, Pablo?
What's up?
Hey, listen, the thing I don't get is you got Logan Thomas, you know, who was a quarterback. Why don't you use the dual threat like Hill down in New Orleans?
Well,
you
want
him to be on Taysom Hill? Because he's maybe not that good.
He's probably
you know
probably
how much
slower.
More athletic Taysom Hill is than Logan Thomas?
Yeah. Logan hasn't thrown a ball in 10 years.
And when he did, he wasn't very good at it.
Let's let him try to catch the ball, okay?
What else, Pablo? Is that
all
you got?
Pablo to be the new offensive coordinator, EB?
No. No, I was high on Scott Turner in the offseason, but so far I'm not
impressed. But what
impressed.
Do you want? He's got nothing to work with.
I want to see utilize Gibson's ability more out
Maybe
of the backfield.
Maybe he's not as good as you think, too.
Well, I haven't seen. They raved about him. All AP did when he was cut was rave about Gibson. Everybody's been raving about Gibson. You can see that he's got the raw skill. He just doesn't look quite polished yet carrying
the ball.
Old
man cliche time. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Certainly was not. I don't know how many days it took to build.
All right, I want to try to take some more calls here.
What if Gibson, he's just, all right,
Well, then it's a huge dud.
Then it's a waste of a draft pick.
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
It's a high pick.
My fear is that he's going to be like Kelvin Bryant. He's going to be somebody who kind of dazzles you with ability but can't stay healthy and that sort of thing. Because he's wearing that 24, and all I can think about is Kelvin Bryant. But we'll see. Look, I want to try to hear from more Washington fans. This is a joke. We got one person calling in for the game. I mean, come on.
Is no one not going? They're not going to watch the game. Come on. Everyone's going to watch it.
Come on.
We need to go out to a park.
We got to bang out some more calls.
You're going to sit in your home. You're going to sit in your basement. You're going to watch the game.
AAA Always On Call listener lines, 800-636-1067. What are your keys to the game, and do you think Washington can pull off the upset against the Cleveland Browns? We'll take your calls next here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Junkies, on a Football Friday, talking about this matchup on Sunday, 1 o'clock, where the Washington football team at 1-1 take on the Browns. Browns, of course, coming off that win against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football. That's a game where Nick Chubb ran for 124 yards and two touchdowns. Kareem Hunt also ran for 86 yards and a touchdown. But Baker was sharp in that game, hooked up with Odell on a long one, did have a pick late in the game. But defensively, they allowed Joe Burrow to throw for 316 yards and three touchdowns. So they kind of have an average defense. We saw the Ravens bludgeon them in week one. And we want to know, do you Washington football team fans believe that they can turn it around after the loss against Arizona and get a win against Cleveland?
They can, but they have to get something going offensively. You know, would it be perfect if they put a week one defensive performance together and then – maybe one of the offensive performances from late last year when Dwayne was playing pretty well. That would be ideal. See if we can do that.
A nice recipe for a win on the road.
All right, we've got
all the phone lines locked and loaded. Let's bang them out real quick. Who's up?
All right, let's go to Rashid in D.C. Rashid, what's up? What do you see?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
First of all, thanks for taking my call once again. Mm-hmm. Okay, point one, it shows that they're missing Kelvin Harmon. Okay, on offense. So I believe that it's going to come down to the Washington football team's defense that's going to present short yardage field position for the Washington football team's offense. And that's going to open the door for J.D. McKissic. And most likely, hopefully, Antonio Gibson can get it going.
Right.
But as far as through the air, Dwayne Haskins is not going to get it done.
What do you think happens? You know, Are you predicting a Washington football team win, Rashid?
Yeah, they'll win. But only on short yardage position.
All right. Thank you, Rashid.
Thank you, buddy.
Second, by the way, call referencing Kelvin Harmon today. I think the first one was J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington.
I wasn't aware that Kelvin Harmon was Julio Jones all of a sudden.
but he was a favorite target of Haskins. I mean, look, when you have no weapons, if you lose like half a weapon, then you really got nothing.
Yeah, but Harmon and Inman, about the same.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe. All right, let's go to Adam, line two, Culpepper. Adam, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. Man, I usually, like, crap all over myself when I finally get on the radio, but I'm going to try to make this good. So last week I had a bunch of friends over, you know, watch the game, and, of course, we get, like, beat down. I think we got a shot this week, man, but I'm going to watch it, you know, by myself.
Right. Smart.
I don't feel like going through that torture. But I think we can beat them. They are the Browns. I mean, just like we are who
we are.
They're the Browns.
Right. They're Washington.
You know?
I love that. You're with me. They are the Browns.
It go the other way, too, though. You know?
True.
They got some guys that can thump that football, and then they got them big boys on the defense. They got that rookie. I was watching him last Thursday with the Richardson. He's a monster, man. So we'll see how it goes. Man, I appreciate y'all taking my call, fellas.
All right. Thank you, Adam.
Is he talking about Sheldon Richardson?
Sheldon Richardson.
He's not a rookie.
He's not a rookie.
Okay.
I don't know who he's talking about.
He watches as much football as I watch Highline, that last call.
Well, that's because he has buddies over all the time.
He's hammered.
He's not paying attention.
He's not really paying attention to me.
I know what's happening there.
Yeah, but this week he's going to watch it by himself. Let's go to line three. Let's go to DJ in D.C. DJ, what's up?
What's up, Chunk, man? A couple points on that, man. I agree with everybody. I've been saying this in the Redskin groups about Harmon. They've been on and off together between high school, so they have chemistry with each other. So that was his favorite target. When he started, Harmon's test radius went through the roof compared to when we had former quarterbacks. The other thing that bothers us on offense to me, and I wanted Kevin O'Connell to stay as my OC, mm-hmm. is consistency. He grew underneath Kevin O'Connell, and you can see the progression. Now learning a new system, we need to, like Joe Gibbs used to do back in the day, I'm going to tailor my system to what fits him best instead of you just fitting my system. That's right. What an excellent
coordinator does. They should be doing that.
If you look at it, what Dwayne excels in when he's on the field is the quick two-minute offense. He does better in that quick two-minute offense than he does in the long scripted plays that we're doing on a record when we start the game off.
Notice at the end of the second quarter, when they have a big lead. Like that. I can't read too much into late-game stat padding because the defense is different.
No, but he does that in the first half, too, when they run hurry-up. He does seem to operate a little more efficiently.
One time in the first game on a short field.
Yeah, maybe when they're against the clock.
45 yards, big deal.
I don't know. I think there's something to it. I think in like a no-huddle situation, he does seem to thrive. I don't think it's just because the game's over.
It's possible.
Yeah. Let's go to Carlos, line four, Prince Frederick. Carlos, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Yeah, what's up, gentlemen? I'm gonna flip the script just a little bit. I don't have all the X's and O's and everything like that, but I got a really good feeling. My mojo's been going with me, and it's kind of odd. I don't know if you're married, man, but every time my wife just gave me some cheeks, and then whenever she gives me cheeks, the Redskins win. I swear to goodness.
I like that.
It was my birthday.
My birthday was that weekend, and we beat and we won our season opener.
Uh-huh. Right.
Didn't have anything last weekend, and
right, loser.
So that you can imagine how it was last year for me.
Right. So hold on. So did you? When did you get the cheeks last night?
Last night, and I'm gonna get them again Sunday, hopefully, if I play my cards right.
Maybe that's
right.
A good omen.
Maybe Sunday early buns.
Yeah, we haven't talked about victory buns
or
much.
Early AM buns.
You know,
hey, I'm telling you, 26-17. That's gonna be the final score. We get a safety too. 26-17. That's what it is.
All right. Thank you, Carlos.
Is that over? Last year, that's slight under. Lean with only
slide
three
under.
Wins.
45 the total.
So yeah, he must not have had many cheeks last year. Let's go to Parker in Roanoke. Parker, what's up?
Hey, my junkies, what you doing, my brothers? First of all, I just love the show.
Thanks, man.
I'm a daily watcher.
Thank you.
But I feel like y'all just being too hard on my team.
First of all,
I like the name, the Washington Football Team. Let's just leave it like that.
All right.
Antonio Gibson, he's a stud. Dwayne Haskins. He's great. I'm going to tell you, Baker Mayfield.
He's great.
No champion.
Well, at least you're not biased.
All right, hold on. What do you like what you've seen with Dwayne so far?
Well, I like his composure. He's a very young man. He didn't play many college games. He's a big kid. He's not afraid to run the ball. He's not afraid to put the helmet down and take a hit.
Yeah.
I think we got to give this guy a break.
Right.
I think we have to give him some time to develop.
Do you think he has the weapons? That part
I'll agree with, but you can't call him great.
Do you think he has weapons?
No, I think he's going to be great. This is my team, and I'm going to talk these guys up. I think he's going to be a great quarterback. He's a fine young man.
Right. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Parker.
He may
be a very fine young man,
yeah,
but not necessarily a great quarterback.
You think?
All right. Well, we got some enthusiasm there, Cakes. We got some. We had some victory cheeks.
We did, yeah.
We got
Now, there are a few dogs sprinkled in there, too.
Dogs.
Don't think there weren't.
Some dogs, but they were positive. Most of them were pretty positive.
I remember it is a football Friday. We're going to get winners from Stucky, the handicapper from the Action Network, coming up at 9:40. But next, we'll switch gears. We'll talk entertainment with Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5 here on The Junkies.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com?
We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.